This Sunday Show with EPIC, the Irish Emigration Museum, an interactive journey that shows how a small island made a big impact on the world. EPICCHQ.com.
Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to the Sunday Show. Happy New Year to all the listeners. Now, we're starting off the year with two very special guests. Of course, guys, this is the time of year when people are looking to travel to a new you for 24, soaring for 24. I'm joined on the show this evening, Claire Dunn, the CEO of the Irish Travel Agents Association and the first female CEO. Congratulations, Claire.
Thanks, Ed.
Previous president as well for 2 years and, of course, a travel agent for many years. Ciara Foley, the joint owner and joint MD of Platinum Travel, which, of course, you won a great award this year. Last year, should I say now, Ciara, Luxury Travel Agent of the Year at the Irish Travel Trade Awards. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here. Thank you, Ed.
Brilliant, guys. So I'm delighted to have you here. I suppose this evening, what I wanted to do was look forward to the year ahead, talk about exciting things that you've guys done, talk about the industry, Claire, getting people back into the travel agents again. There's a lot of good work that you do. But first of all, I just wanted to kind of chat about yourselves. Now, Claire, we'll go to you first. You have been in travel since you were about 12, is that right?
I think so, probably about 4, yeah. I started in 1979 with Aer Lingus, yeah, back in Aer Lingus reservations.
The Pope came to Ireland the same year.
He did indeed, yeah. I remember it well. He had to have a ticket, I remember that.
Brilliant. And so you started in 1979 in Aer Lingus?
In Aer Lingus, out in the reservations department, out in head office, yeah, absolutely, loved it.
Fantastic. And, I mean, did you always want to get into travel? Or?
No, not really. I mean, I started off actually working in Irish Life, and then I was working in Dublin Corporation, and then an opportunity arose to apply to Aer Lingus, and I was very lucky to start in reservations. The training was fantastic, really, really fantastic. People training, business training, and obviously airline training. And I was there for 5 years and loved it. Got one promotion and needed another one to really keep me there. So I moved on then to work for a training company, actually teaching travel agents how to work computers, because travel agents at that stage were just getting computers into their offices. Up to that, it was all phone business, phone reservations. So then I went to work for a travel bureau, which is sadly no longer there. But the owner of that travel agency is a very dear friend of mine.
And of course, I mean, you've seen so many advances now in terms of travel. I mean, it's one of the industries that's really embraced technology.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the tickets that you tell you of the three, the duplicate copies.
Absolutely.
The telex machine.
You've written out a few of those in your time, so have I. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, so incredible now, of course, yeah. The way the things have advanced, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there are no paper tickets anymore. It's all e-tickets. And I suppose the business has evolved so much in that in those days, the primary reason to go to a travel agency was to get your actual ticket. And now that has changed completely. Now we are much more travel advisors. People come to travel agents now with complex itineraries and to get advice to steer them in the right direction. And we've seen a lot of change in that in the last few years. I mean, we went through a phase where people thought everybody was a travel agent. They could do their own thing, problem. And that has changed again now, and people are coming back to travel agents because they realise the value of the service that they're getting. And when they're stuck somewhere or there's a problem and they have a travel agency that they can call, they have a friend on their side who's going to look after them, and that has made a big difference.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I know volcanoes in Iceland, and I suppose the big one, COVID, when people kind of realised, I mean, all that stuff about refunds and that, it was insane, wasn't it? I mean,
it was crazy. And when it started in 2020, in March 2020, and people thought, oh, it'll be over in a few months, and we were rebooking people for April, May, we'll book for August, September, October, then we rebooked them again for the following March, and then sadly we rebooked them again. I mean, quite a lot of clients were rebooked 4 or 5 times, Ciara. Yeah, absolutely. People thought we were, travel agents were sitting at home watching TV, when actually travel agents were really, really busy.
Yeah, I mean, and you weren't getting paid for any of that rebooking.
No, no money, unfortunately.
So, you know,
no
I mean,
money.
Which is like, because I suppose when you have clients like Ciara, I suppose it's repeat business, and that's one of the great things about when you have a good travel agent, isn't it? That you can like rely on them. Yeah. They know what you like.
Yeah, it's funny. I was looking at a survey that we've just done with the ITAA members. It's just happening at the minute, and it was 87% of our clients are repeat clients.
Wow, so you must be good.
Yeah, must be good. Well, once people have used a travel agency, if they establish a relationship, and it is a two-way relationship, it's not a question of just going in and the travel agency saying, where do you want to go, how much do you want to spend? That's not the value of a travel agency. The value is if you build a relationship so that the travel agent gets to know you, gets to know what you like, what you don't like, who's travelling, who are the party, are they parents, children, single people, older people, and then get to know what they want. So then the travel agent can build an itinerary to suit exactly what you need.
Yeah, and I mean, Ciara, to go to yourself, you would have, I suppose, when this thing about a travel agent versus online, there was a sort of a, you kind of did it yourself, but of course, travel agents like yourself, I mean, you embraced the whole technology of the internet, and I see sometimes it's obviously, aside from quality and service, it's even better value, because you're not saving money really, are you?
No, you're not, and I always say there's room for everything. So if you just want to book a Dublin-London flight, of course, absolutely, you can book it online yourself, no problem at all. But if you have something a little bit more complex, or you want the protection and the advice and the expertise and a 24-hour emergency number that we offer as well, then go through a travel agent. It just gives you that peace of mind, and there's always somebody on hand to call. I mean, I don't know how many people I've spoken to who have said, especially during COVID, they were on hold for hours and hours and hours for airlines. Our clients didn't have to do that. We did it for them. Now, we nearly lost the will to live during COVID trying to do it. But I think it's paid off now, because those clients have come back to us over and over again. And I remember what Claire is talking about there. Like, I started way back in 1995 as well, and we were handwriting tickets, and I wonder how did we manage with no Google and no websites, but we did, and we evolve, and it's all about making the experience as pleasurable and as easy as possible for the client.
And did you, just for yourself, did you always want to get into travel, or what's your own background?
What's my own background? Yeah, God, the time has gone so fast. Well, I grew up in kind of a travel house. My dad was a pilot, and my mum worked in ground in Aer Lingus as well. So it was always there in the house. I did go to college, didn't work out so well, moving on. So I left, and like Claire, I think a lot of people started in Aer Lingus reservations and then moved on to budget. So I was there the days when people were queuing at midnight for those €99 holidays, which was great fun. And then I moved to World Travel Centre, where I dealt with airlines and contracts and wholesale fares. And then in 2005, set up Platinum Travel. And yeah, that was a big leap of faith. And we were just coming into a recession. I went full time at it in 2007, and then we hit a recession. And I don't know, were we mad at the time? But anybody in travel will tell you it. They're in it because they love it. We're in it because we're passionate about it. That's why our industry, people stay in it for the long haul. But we need new blood, and we need new people coming in. And it's a superb industry to work in.
It sounds like Aer Lingus was the Cathal, was to travel what Cathal Brua is to chefs. And I mean, it seems like it was a fantastic training ground.
Mostly,
I mean, you know, in those days, anyway, it was really the kind of the place to be, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I loved working in Aer Lingus reservations. There was always a buzz in the airport. Even now, if I was to change jobs, I would go back possibly to an airline or to an airport. Look, there is a buzz about travel when it's in an airline.
And going up to the station in those days, up to Dublin Airport, the buzz that there was, I mean, it was just such fun to go. And we used to travel standby a lot in those days. You'd go up to the station and see where are there seats to, where can we go, and off you'd go. It was great.
Yeah,
fun.
But I'm sure you remember. I mean, who can believe that you could have a smoking? Remember the smoking areas?
And
was it?
You sit behind a curtain and the smoke would be wafting
was
out.
Was the Greek airline? What's that Greek airline? Was it David? Was the last ones to smoke?
I remember going Aeroflot to Barbados, and we used to smoke on Aeroflot to Barbados. Yeah, and then I remember I'd given up and I went Aeroflot again, and it was horrible. I loved it when I could smoke, but not when I couldn't.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
Yeah,
you know?
Isn't it? And of course, the changes, I mean, in terms of, as you said then, it was a great deal. I mean, a lot of it became, I suppose, now with the Ryanair, of course, when Ryanair came onto the scene, it completely changed in a way, didn't it, as well, the landscape here?
Yeah, it changed. I mean, I set up my own company, The Travel Broker, in 1994, so we'll be 30 years old this year. But things were so different then, and it was really after 9/11 that things changed so much, because Ryanair were up and coming at that stage, but then things changed so much. Aer Lingus went online, Ryanair were already gone online, and almost overnight in that year the airline business changed, and we no longer needed to write tickets, as Ciara was talking about. Even we had machines by then to do the ticket,
very
we weren't writing them. but you didn't need to issue tickets anymore. They were all e-tickets, as they were called. Now nobody even knows they have a ticket because you don't need it. Once it's in the system, you don't need a ticket. But it was big changes, and the industry has changed so much. I mean, even since I've been in it, I mean, in the travel agency side of it, since what, 1983, I think. And it's changed so much, as I say, from being a transactional business where we were writing tickets for people, and we used to joke we needed to read the brochures one line ahead of the clients, but we needed to be able to read them upside down because the brochure was in front of the client, so you'd be reading it upside down. But that's all gone now, you know what I mean? We travel agents are full of knowledge, and even when Kira was talking there, I was going to say, we're always, if we don't know the destination ourselves, we're only ever one person away from somebody who has been there, and that makes such a difference. I mean, we travel a lot ourselves. We try to travel as much as we can, and my team and Travel Broker try to travel as much as they can. Our ITA team travel a lot. Kira travels, I know, a lot to the States and elsewhere.
She's never at home.
She's never at home, exactly. But that's so important, because we need to know the destinations firsthand. If we're talking to clients, it's not just enough to be reading it from Google or reading it from somewhere else. We want to give them firsthand knowledge. And we have connections with all the tourist boards and with the hoteliers and the tour operators on the ground in the destinations. So we get firsthand knowledge. If we don't know it ourselves, as I say, we're only ever one person away from somebody who actually is there or has been there.
And Kira, it's phenomenal, actually. I mean, when you look at the size of Ireland, I know we're an island nation, isn't it incredible? I mean, you were telling me the amount of flights that are going to the US, the amount of flights that are going now. I saw there's new flights, Aer Lingus are flying to Dalaman, and there's Greece. I mean, it's kind of, and the way Ireland has become almost a hub now for huge feeder traffic as well, Kira.
Massive, massive. I mean, it's phenomenal growth that we have coming out of Ireland to the US. I mean, I think we have about 200 flights to the US direct peak season. In fact, it'll probably be bigger than that this year because there's quite a few number of routes. Most of the routes that were postponed during COVID have come back, and we've a couple of new routes as well, like Denver, which is fantastic with Aer Lingus. But what was interesting, I was at a meeting there recently with the embassy. We were 16th in the world for visitation to the USA per capita, which is unbelievable. 16th. I mean,
it's incredible for a small country.
Yeah, and that is Irish citizens, that Irish residents here, Irish citizens. It's residents. It's not people coming from from Europe and the UK, which they do. They come through Ireland to use the pre-clearance. That was actually the number for Irish residents travelling to the USA. Now that fluctuates. Sometimes we're 15, sometimes 17, but it was 16 last year, which was just brilliant.
My special guest this evening, Claire Dunn, CEO of the Irish Travel Agents Association, and Kira Foley, award-winning luxury travel agent, joint owner MD of Platinum Travel. Now, guys, let's talk about exciting stuff. Kira, you did some amazing trips in 23. I could see your TikTok reels and I saw your stuff, and I think you should win an award for those as well. But you did some bucket list stuff that I would love to do to America. Can you tell us some of the kind of highlights for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we started specialising in the US years and years ago out of just a passion that we had, that we loved going to the States and doing fly drive trips. So that's kind of evolved over the years. And in order to be able to sell the USA and to know what you're talking about, you have to go and do it. You really do have to go and travel over there. So last year I did some really interesting trips. The most recent one I did was Arkansas and Memphis. And a lot of people wouldn't have Arkansas on their radar.
Bill Clinton country.
So we were in Bill and Hillary Clinton's house when they got married first. We were in the Clinton Library. We did the US Marshals Museum. Then we went over to Memphis. And of course, Memphis is just like Elvis and the blues and everything to do with music. So that was a superb trip. I did some other Deep South stuff. I was in Alabama as well. I also did some in New England, which is gorgeous. And people tend to do New England in the fall. So that's the five states of Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont. And people tend to do that in the fall, but it's actually gorgeous the whole year round. So I would always recommend people consider there. Probably the highlight for me was Montana. And we went to Montana and North Dakota. And that was for another trip. And I just absolutely loved it. We went to the National Glacier Park and did horse riding and biking. And we were in Fargo in North Dakota.
Oh, wow.
So it was very good. Again, these places aren't people's radar. So when we have somebody call us, say, they've done New York, Then they do Florida, say, I'll go to California, because they feel that's what they should do next. But then you get them on the phone and say, well, what do you like doing? And what do the kids like doing? And then you start talking about taking an RV or a motorhome, or and they go, I'd love that, I'd love that. Or and you kind of explain the likes of, say, Mount Rushmore or Yellowstone. And then they just light up and you've got a whole other trip planned for them. So I just, you can hear I'm enthusiastic about it. I just love the States, and there's so much more to it than the usual hotspots that people talk about.
Yeah, I mean, like this year, I keep saying this year, guys, I get used to it. Last year, I did Cleveland, of course, with the new direct route four times a week. And I mean, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean, Elvis, you mentioned there earlier, like that, they have a whole thing on Elvis, if you like. But I mean, it was phenomenal and the only one in the world. And then, of course, they have an eclipse now in April. They're in the path of totality as well.
That's going to be a great trip, not to interrupt you. That's going to be super tonight, the 8th of April. If you can get to Cleveland on that direct service and you can have all the fun stuff that Cleveland do and experience the eclipse, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, and
it's Easter holidays.
Yeah, and the second biggest theatre, they've 12 theatres in the whole theatre land area there as well, which was absolutely fantastic. I think, Claire, as well, when new routes, I mean, for you and for the ITN, for travel agents, accessibility, I mean, you must be jumping up and down
absolutely,
when you hear about Cleveland and Denver.
We love to hear new routes and Minneapolis coming back on and Denver coming in for the first time. It's so exciting. And then the European ones, as you said earlier on, Dalaman, Heraklion, there was another one, I can't remember now. So it's so exciting. And I heard something yesterday that they were talking about Addis Ababa possibly coming back in.
We
had
Ethiopian.
That for a while, Ethiopian. Yeah. So, I mean, and perhaps some of the Far East routes, we'd love to get that back in, because it's so much easier to travel if you have a direct flight.
Well, I mean, who would have thought? I mean, I'm actually planning a trip now to, I've done Egypt years ago, right? And I'm just dying to go back. I want to do the pyramids.
And of course, the service to Cairo.
I mean, who would have thought, I suppose, like a few years ago, that we'd have a direct flight to Egypt, aside of charters, but you know, like an actual scheduled flight.
Yeah.
And I mean, the connections are very interesting now as well, aren't they, with all the different airlines we have here, like Emirates, Qatar.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And you can go to sort of Australia
for
about
800. I was talking to a colleague this morning. She lives in Chicago most of the year, and sometimes she lives in BVI, but she uses Dublin all the time, and she had a family holiday in Europe. They'd been in Vienna and Rome, and they'd all used Dublin as a hub. Her daughter flew back to Dublin to go back to Nebraska. Her other daughter flew back from Rome to Dublin to go to New York, and they were flying out of Dublin tomorrow to Chicago. And they, like, there's no connection with Ireland except they use Dublin as a hub. It's fantastic.
And Ciara, the immigration, the US, the immigration situation here, I mean, that you can clear immigration here in Dublin, isn't that just a huge plus for Ireland?
It's an absolute no-brainer. And if anybody's not familiar with it, what it means is when you go on a direct flight from Dublin to the US, you will pre-clear customs and immigration in Dublin, which means that when you arrive in the US, you arrive as a domestic passenger. So you may as well have flown from Boston to New York as from Dublin to New York, because you arrive as a domestic passenger and you literally walk from gate to gate. You will never be asked for your passport. You won't be asked to sign a customs form, and it just makes life so easy. So if there isn't a direct route to where you're going, or it's a lot more cost effective to go via somewhere, don't sweat about it, because it's so straightforward, and they have it down to a fine art now down in Dublin Airport. I've watched the times just drop. It's so fast going through that you do have to allow plenty of time, you know, especially in peak season, but it's so straightforward.
But isn't it fantastic when you arrive and you just pick up your bag and you walk out,
and
you don't have to see anybody? I remember I used to go back and forth to California. My daughter lived there for a while, and she used to come into the baggage hall to meet me.
Yeah,
I was fascinated. I was like, how do you mean you can get into the baggage hall, but you're a domestic passenger? Oh my god, it's fantastic. And actually, those people I was talking about earlier on, that was one of the main reasons they use Dublin, because of the pre-clearance. It's just so easy, and they have the global entry and everything, so they don't need it, but they just said it's so easy to use Dublin.
So easy. And one good tip on that just is, the with your ESTA, it will tell you it's 72 hours. That's all you need to do it in advance. But I would highly recommend that people do it at least 1 month before they go, if they have notice, purely because if it's declined, the only way around it is to get an appointment in the embassy and get a visa that way, and take you at least 2 weeks to get that appointment.
Yeah,
so a tip
great.
For anybody, do your ESTA at least a month before you go, even though it comes through very quickly. If it doesn't come through, you're banned.
And the same applies for the other visas. I mean, a lot of countries now have introduced, like Canada have a visa, Australia have a visa as well, and the same advice absolutely, I would echo what Ciara says, because although most times times it does issue straight away. If it doesn't, you need that window in order to be able to get that. And the same with your passport. Please don't leave it till the last minute to get the passport.
Nightmare.
Most times with the passport online applications they come through, you could get it the next day sometimes. But if it doesn't work, if you're the exception, you're going to need a few weeks. So now is the time.
Yeah, and always have a photocopy of the passport, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's on the phone now anyway. Kira, you talked earlier there about Montana. I just wanted to bring you back there. I always remember Brad Pitt in A River Runs Through It, the most amazing movie. And he wasn't there when I was there, but anyway, you'll meet him at some stage on your travels, I'm sure. But that was an amazing trip that you were talking about. Like, in terms of people that want to do that, like the logistics of it, do you put them on guided tour or do you like bespoke tailor-made holidays?
Completely.
How does it work?
Yeah, everything is completely tailor-made.
Where would you fly into, for example?
Well, if you're going somewhere like that, it depends how long you have. I mean, you could start, take your direct to Denver, just for argument's sake, and go up through Wyoming, and up through to Montana that way and circle back. Or you can start in one airport and finish in another. The way we look, no two trips are the same. So it's down to how long do you have, how much do you want to spend, what type of accommodation you want to be in, do you want to do it in a motorhome, do you want to do it in a car, do you want to do it as a guided tour? So there's no right or wrong to it. It's what suits you. One person, their luxury is glamping in the middle of Yellowstone National Park. Somebody else, it's a 5-star luxury ranch. So luxury and tailor-made is different to everybody.
Yeah, now, I mean, one thing I discovered this year, or last year as well, I keep saying this, I'll go eventually, was I didn't realise New Jersey, right? Now, I thought New Jersey, you know, I remember thinking, you know, The Sopranos, Jersey Shore, and then all of a sudden I made this lovely little TV programme and we went into Newark and we drove 2 hours down to Cape May and I did Atlantic City and then up into American Dream, which was this amazing theme park.
That's incredible,
that has everything.
Isn't it?
Oh my God, yeah, incredible. But I couldn't believe, and I'm going to go back again, but New Jersey for me was a revelation because I didn't even know they made wine in New Jersey, guys, right? And all of us, I mean, these wineries down in Cape May, and it was like the Hamptons, but it was cheaper. But the golden sand beaches, I did this thing called Revolution Rail. I was out looking at dolphins, Atlantic City then, of course. It's like Vegas by the sea.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was really, I was like, and America tends to do that to you, doesn't it? It's kind of like, it's shocking in a way that's brilliant.
I know, and that's why I love when you do the programs that you do, because you showcase destinations that people just don't have on their radar. So when they see, they go, God, I didn't realise that was there. I mean, I want to go. I haven't done all of that that you've done. I've done Atlantic City, but I haven't done the rest of it. So listening to you, I'd straight away go. It's like people come to me and say they want to go to California to the coast. I would suggest, well, why don't you go north and do the Oregon coast? Mm. It's much quieter, as stunning, if not more stunning. Mm. And then if you do California, go in and do the winelands in California.
But you're really demonstrating the value of a travel agent, because it's all about that knowledge and that experience and expertise. As you say, people can be a bit siloed into their thinking. We know about Spain and Portugal and we'll go to the Algarve or we'll go to the Costa del Sol, and those places are fantastic. But there's so much else in the world to see. And if you build that relationship with your travel agent, they'll be able to suggest things exactly like Kira is saying. Well, how about, did you ever think of northern Spain, or did you ever think of Alentejo in Portugal, or did you ever think of Montana or anywhere, you know what I mean? But just to broaden your horizon a little bit. The other thing we're seeing then about that is people maybe travelling at different times of the year, broadening out the window of travel and going maybe May or April or September, October, to avoid those peaks. And a good travel agent will steer you in that direction to save you money and save you a lot of hassle with the busiest time to travel. If you have flexibility, use it, and the travel agent will advise you on that.
Yeah, and speaking of advice, I mean, I remember 2 years ago we did the Beyond the Big Apple. Do you remember? I actually looked at one of your itineraries, Kieran, and it was like we went from, again, we flew into North, went to Rhinebeck. Paul Rudd has the sweet shop there, famous, fabulous actor. And then up we went to Cornell University, went to Woodstock, and finished in Niagara Falls. Buffalo, by the way, what a great city.
Superb.
Oh my God, I really loved Buffalo. Didn't have enough time there, of course. It was, you see, when you, if I was to go back now, it's been probably 2 weeks doing it. But again, New York, like state, upstate New York, I was completely like, I was completely like, wow. And it was great. Again, as you said, I wouldn't have known really that at all, but unless someone puts the itinerary together
and
for
puts
you.
It and suggests it, yeah. And the stunning, the foliage up there is gorgeous. And I know you went a different time of year, but in the fall, as they say, is gorgeous there. And you might get a little bit better than you would in New England, because it's about thinking outside the box a little bit.
It's so interesting about America, I guess, as well. It's like, it's all countries. It's like so many countries in one, isn't it? From Hawaii to New York, you name it.
And it's always really good to think of things that are on when you're going to a destination. And these are the states, but you could do whatever. Like FIFA World Cup is on in 2026, and they're going to have four cities in the US.
Yeah, the American Dream we spoke about earlier.
The
stadium is, that's 40 minutes from the airport.
Which is perfect. Yeah. And people can do a road trip between a couple of cities. So that's one. The other one, the Kentucky Derby is 150 years old this year. And then Route 66, I think, is at 100 years old as well. It's an anniversary coming up for Route, is it 100 or 150? I think it's
that's
100.
Gas. We did a little bit. We did a Great Lakes, a fabulous tour around the Great Lakes. And I remember I went to Springfield, Illinois, and we did a little bit of the old Route 66. And again, that's like Illinois and that part of Chicago. Yeah. It's real Midwest America. Corn dogs and soda fountains. Yeah.
But it's funny because that's another trend that we've seen, is people building their trips around events.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you were talking about the eclipse, or a sporting event or a concert event.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really another reason to travel. And maybe not the main holiday, or maybe it is the main holiday, but just to have another element to it, that it's not just one type of holiday. So you end up with maybe two or three or four different experiences in the 1 week or whatever. Yeah. And it's like having three or four different holidays at the same time.
Well, a perfect, sorry, just on that, you have me going now. We did Taylor Swift in Cincinnati last August, and that was phenomenal. And so we did the whole Cincy region, which is northern Kentucky, southern Ohio, did the two together and had the Taylor Swift concert. So if you can't get your Taylor Swift concert tickets in Ireland, get them somewhere else. And
there's a lot of people doing that. I got to see her when she was here a good few years ago. I was very lucky. Brilliant. Sarah, I wanted to chat. We did a fabulous, you arranged a great trip. I know people walk the Camino, the whole lot of it, right?
And
I did walk from Sarria to Santiago on another occasion. But as like you were saying about travel agents, what you do there, we literally drove from Pamplona.
Well, we started in Bilbao. Do you remember we flew into Bilbao and then we went to
750 kilometres, I think.
And then we went the whole width of Spain all the way across, and stopping in all the little towns and villages. It was fascinating. I'd have loved to have walked a bit more of it.
Yeah.
But the places that we stopped, Logrono, do you remember Logrono, the capital of the Rioja region?
Burgos,
fantastic.
Leon was amazing.
Yeah, Leon was gorgeous, and Burgos. And the fantastic chateau hotels. Do you remember those little hotels? And the cuisine was phenomenal.
Yeah, the Paradors.
The Paradors. Yeah. Every time we stopped.
Now, we had seven hotels in 7 nights.
Oh, I know. You would
never do that to a normal client. This was what's called an inspection trip.
I did a similar trip in the Rockies one time. We did a 14 night coach tour in 7 nights.
Yeah.
It's not for the faint hearted.
That was like fun trek here in the old days.
But
there was no fun in it at all.
It's work, but I mean, it's great fun. But that's what we have to do. We want to experience the different places.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we did that time, we did Banff and Calgary and Vancouver. It was amazing.
And I see WestJet, we have a new direct route to Calgary as well. Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah, yeah, wow. Exactly. And then JetBlue coming into New York and Boston.
Yeah. Wow.
I did a trip like that one time.
Nobody at home at all. Everyone would be gone.
Okay, I did a trip in Portugal that one time, down from Lisbon, or Porto, down to Lisbon, down the coast. And there was towns with canals, like Venice. Like, it was phenomenally different, really amazing stuff that you'd never think about.
Yeah, and I mean, Porto, and I mean, I've discovered that just after COVID. I went there for 3 days and ended up staying there for 2 weeks.
It's an amazing place, isn't it?
Yeah. And the port, and the White Port and everything.
Yeah.
And Lisbon, of course.
Not the port that the boats are in, the port in the glass.
No, I know. Any port in a storm, I know very well, yeah. Guys, there's always a challenge, I suppose, in the travel industry, Claire, in particular, I suppose, for yourself now as a CEO of the ITA, in getting new blood, fresh blood into the industry.
Yeah.
But I think it is one of the most resilient industries, and it probably is. It's a challenge, is it?
It is a challenge. We lost quite a few people during COVID, sadly. Things were very bad, as we said, in the travel industry. But there are huge opportunities in travel. I think travel is like the second biggest industry worldwide. It's like massive all over the world. And people think sometimes, airlines, so working in an airline as a cabin steward, or a travel agent selling holidays, HR, PR, legal, all the spectrum of careers exist in travel as well, and you have the buzz of travel as well. So, and we are looking for people, actively looking to recruit people into the industry. As Ciara said earlier on, you have to love it. Like, you have to really want to travel and you have to love it. But to me anyway, it's the best industry in the world. The people are fantastic. The fun is great. It's, we have a great social life and we get to travel a lot. So it's good.
Yeah, and I mean, I think as well, I mean, in terms of a path, you know, in qualifications, I mean, now, how does it work now when you're leaving school?
And there are a couple of colleges who specialise in travel and tourism courses. We're working with quite a few of the colleges and we will be working with them more in 2024, because a lot of the courses up to now have been tourism oriented. So more sort of focused on the hotel industry or on the tourist board industry. And we want to sort of bring that back to travel. People don't generally think of travel itself as a career, and we want to focus back on that. And we will be running new entrance travel courses in 2024. So if anybody's interested in getting into the industry, please do contact me, Claire at itaa.ie, and we will steer them in the right direction. We have lots of opportunities in the industry across multiple companies for different kinds of people in travel, different skills, different expertise, and it's expanding. People think, oh, travel agents, there's no future for travel agents. I'm here to tell you that is not the truth. People have been telling us that for years, but it's not the way it is.
Yeah, but I mean, I know that you have also specialised in a lot of cruises and stuff, and I mean, it seems, I mean, one of my friends who's a travel agent, she seems to have been going on some amazing training courses and the trip, but the cruise stuff has seemed to have just exploded.
Has just really exploded, and it bounced back so well from COVID. People thought after COVID nobody would ever cruise again. That's absolutely not the case. It's a fantastic holiday and fantastic value for money, and people love it because they can budget for it. And there's so many different cruise ships, there's so many new cruise ships coming on stream now. There's a cruise for everyone. Not every cruise and every cruise company is for everyone, so it's really important to talk that out with your travel agent and make sure that the match is right, that you're, the right client is matched to the right ship, the right destination, the right cruise company, and then you'll have a fantastic holiday. And mostly we find if the match is right, once you go on it, you'll definitely want to go back again.
Yeah, I suppose if you don't, like, for example, if you weren't mad about children, right, you wouldn't want to be on one of those big mega ships, would you, with like six million slides?
Yeah. And say,
You'd prefer to be on Pennant or something, would
absolutely.
You, Ciara?
100%, exactly. And we also ask clients all the time, is it ocean or river cruise you want to do?
Yeah,
you
know, the river's huge, yeah.
Exactly. And one question we always ask, is it the destination they're driven by, or is it the ship they're driven by? Like, when they say they want to cruise, they say, well, I want to go to Northern Europe, and they're very specific about they want to go to Norwegian fjords, or they want to go up that way, or they say, do you know what, I just want a really nice ship in the Caribbean. So it's about listening to what they want. River cruising has just skyrocketed over the last kind of 6 or 7 years. It really has, and it's such a popular way now to see Europe. It's, to me, it's one of my favourite ways to see Europe is by river cruise. So it's good to keep
that
on your radar.
But you get so many opportunities on the river, like during the day you can walk off the ship, you're berthed in the city, so you can walk off. I remember a river cruise in Cologne, and we were berthed underneath practically the spire of the cathedral, and you get off and walk, and we did the Christmas markets, and you just get off, walk to the Christmas markets, and you can walk back on the ship. Sometimes you have bicycles on board, you can go for a bicycle trip, or sometimes you can actually go for a bicycle trip and catch up with the ship. The ship will go on sailing and you can catch up with it an hour down the river. So it's a fantastic way to see it, particularly Europe.
Absolutely, I agree.
The other thing that was really interesting, I did a few years ago as well, was I did the Queen Mary across the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Now, it was very funny because I thought, you have an idea of a cruise stuff, but of course it doesn't stop anywhere. But the package, I remember, we flew to Southampton, 8 days on the ship, right? Now, that was after 5 days, I was kind of cabin fever, right? I know what it is now. Yeah. But it was still brilliant. And then sailing into Manhattan, the dusky skyline with the Eiffel Tower.
Fabulous.
But that was about, and we two nights in New York, and then we flew back, I think it was Aer Lingus, and that was about £1,300.
Yeah.
And that was a package that was packaged up by travel aid. But that was
for neighbours.
Now, I'm also going to tell you something to make you very jealous. I also went across the Atlantic in 3 hours, 45 minutes.
In Concorde.
Yeah, imagine. £5,000 in 1990-something, right?
Oh, yeah, I never got to go on.
I nearly missed it coming back. But anyway, it was incredible. You didn't know you got off. It was just like one big boozy lunch, but it was fantastic.
That's mad,
but you said there, Ciara, about the destination. And of course, it's not the destination and it's the journey. And on that Cunard and on the ship there, I mean, they had the biggest ballroom. This is something I was just going to talk to you about. It's just like the biggest ballroom. The Royal Philharmonic Orchestra were on. You had Bill Bryson was given a lecture.
Yeah.
But it was another level of, they've the biggest, what is the number of, I can't remember, meals and first class and all the difference of the service. But it was like old world cruising. But that was something that I'd say to anybody if you wanted a treat. And one of the ladies, who she was actually 100 on the ship, and I said to her, this is a lovely cruise. And she said, oh, it's not a cruise, it's a crossing. Because she had done it 100 times. And I was so slapped down because, of course, it wasn't a cruise.
But it's interesting, two things about that. One is not to forget the educational side of it on cruises. Like, you often get guest lecturers on board, depending on where you're going, and you can learn a huge amount about the destination. The other thing, when you were talking about the ballroom, we had a cruise booked one time for a client who was travelling on her own, and she said, well, I really love to dance. And we said, that's no problem. They have dance escorts on the ship.
They do?
So that they do. So if you want to dance, there will be somebody there to dance with you.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah,
it's hilarious. I mean, they had the Red Lion pub, and they actually pump the smell of a pub into the pub. Can you believe that? I was reliably informed, and people were like, there was fitness instructors, there were people jogging.
Fantastic.
I mean, it's just like a little moving scene. And then you get to the point, and the Captain Wells, I remember, says, this is where we lost Titanic. And it's like this eerie.
Oh, yeah,
and you're on the sea like 5 days, and it was glassy. It was in September, so it was very calm. But it's like, oh my goodness. Because when you're out there, you're gaining hours, of course, and you get the best sleep. But and you meet the most amazing people on cruises, guys,
absolutely.
Don't you?
You do. You really do. I mean, there's something for everybody. There's a ship for everybody. There really is. And my biggest thing when we have clients is, oh no, I don't cruise. Oh no, I never want to. And they just have this mental block about it. And you're just trying to get the word across to them. It's so much more than what it used to be. People think it's just the masses queuing up at buffets.
I'm sure you've Jamie Oliver restaurants. And I mean, the architects that designed those, you never see half. I mean, the way it's designed,
stunning,
you don't even see a lot of the people.
Amazing food and amazing experience. And if you're going with families, there's literally everything you want. Mm. Or if you want to just go as a couple, you can have the most gorgeous romantic cruise. So my one bit of advice is, do not rule it out. Just open your mind. I mean, you mentioned Ponham. That's luxury yachting. I took that from Dublin to Glasgow via Belfast on a short 3-night trip last year as well. Got a lot last year now. It was a good year. And that was stunning. And the food on board. And it was champagne all day. You could have champagne.
Yeah, but you see, when you have your laptop, you can work anywhere now these days. Not like the good old days.
Exactly,
you'd be clocking in and out.
Yeah, they do work you hard on these trips.
One thing that occurs to me on that is a lot of the holidays we're talking about now are multi-generational holidays.
Completely,
we've seen a lot of that, particularly since COVID. So you have like the parents and their adult children and their children, because they all want to go together. And cruises are brilliant for that, because you can get something for everybody. You have something for the teenagers, something for the younger kids, something for the older people. You have nice restaurants, nice food. And then depending on the cruise, different destinations or experiences. So we've seen a big trend of that, of those small groups of families coming together to go away.
Yeah, I noticed even that when I was on the same, there was all ages. I mean, that myth is dispelled completely, isn't it?
Oh,
like, that's
completely
gone.
It's like a care home.
Completely gone.
Yeah.
Coming up now, guys, to Holiday World, right, at the end of the month.
Absolutely.
Very exciting time always here. I think there was like 55,000 footfall last year through the RDS. The ITA, of course, Claire, what, 50, how many years now are you in
existence? 52 years,
Wow, amazing.
Absolutely,
So this will be a big, the Holiday World is probably
the
highlight.
Holiday World is a big event.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all the countries, nearly every country in the world, all under one roof, and you get to speak to people directly from the destination, which again is really important. And there's a lot of travel agencies there as well who help you to make the bookings. But it's a great opportunity, it's a great buzz. It's like literally the world under one roof, and it's a highlight of our year. We love it. Yeah,
and Ciara, of course, you can win loads of prizes when you're there,
you
and
can.
you get deals that you don't get normally.
Absolutely.
And stuff.
There's always such a good buzz about the place. We have a stand there every year, and we bring our partners over from the USA, and
it's a great opportunity to meet
It's a great opportunity to meet them, and then for our clients to come up and actually speak to the experts from, be it from Utah or Capital Region or Kentucky or wherever they're coming from. I think we've Rocky Mountaineer are coming with us this year as well. So if somebody wants to experience that amazing Rocky Mountaineer train, they're there to give their expertise.
That train seems to be just made of glass, is it?
I know.
See everything on those.
You can see everything on it. And of course, they do across the Canadian Rockies, but they also have their new route from Moab to Denver as well. So you can do your Colorado and Utah and that as well. So it's a beautiful way to travel. And Rocky Mountaineer tends to be on people's bucket lists. Mm. But the thing about Holiday World Show is you might go in thinking you want one thing, and you've come out now, you're going to go to Croatia, or you're going to go to Italy, or you're going to Turkey, or So it's a great afternoon out and there's loads of stuff for the kids. It's a fun day out.
There's also, if anyone's interested in getting into the travel industry, it's a great place to talk to people, and the ITAA will have a stand there if anyone is interested in talking to us about entry into the industry. We'll be there to give people advice on that.
Brilliant. Emmy, of course, the AWTA wanted to chat to you about this Association of Women's Travel Executives that you set up a few years ago. A brilliant idea and brilliant organisation. And again, there's a huge, of course, the travel industry really attracts females, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we're about 80% women in the travel industry. So a couple of years ago, back in 2017, I think myself and Lorraine Quinn, we had actually come across the AWTA in the UK, and we said we held a meeting in Dublin Airport with some of the women in travel and said, do you think there's a place for this in Ireland? And overwhelmingly people said yes, and we got together. It went from strength to strength after that. Ciara's now currently the chair, so thank you, Ciara. And it's a wonderful organisation. It's extremely supportive of women. We work a lot with women to work on their motivation and on their self-confidence, and just equipping them with the tools they need to go for the jobs, to go for the bigger job, go for it, you can do it. And it's about a holistic experience. It's about their total life. It's about fulfilling their potential as people, not just in their job, but in their lives. And we work very closely together with all of the women in the industry. And
we do, and very important note on that as well, and I know Claire has said this so many times, is that it's about celebrating women, and we do that with men. Like, we work really well with the men in our industry, and I think we both have come across the same. People sometimes have a thought on AWT that it's not anything to do with men. It's men celebrating women, it's women celebrating women, it's encouraging women, and it's bringing us all together. In fairness to you, Ed, I know you're a big supporter of us, so thank you so much, always being behind us and driving us.
Great events. You
know, we
have our International Women's Day event now coming up.
International Women's Day on the 8th of March, which would be a big event, but it's very important that we all support each other, and we have a wonderful industry like that. So empower, encourage and educate.
Wonderful. Ciara, how do you become Luxury Travel Agent of the Year? Is the office all red carpet and champagne and caviar?
Champagne, exactly. Yeah, to be honest, my butler wakes me up in the morning.
A lot of competition in that space, I would imagine. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. To be honest, we were absolutely delighted to win it. It was a big deal for us, and we were over the moon and in shock, of course. So it was such a privilege to win it. And I love our industry, and I'm very supportive of our industry. So if we don't get a booking and somebody else gets it, once it goes to our industry, I don't mind. It's about supporting each other. But when you win an award like this, it does make you feel good. And we work hard. We go on the journey with the customer. So when the customer rings us, we say, how do they get there? What do they do when they get there? And it's about going on the journey with them. And a big thing to me, and I said it earlier, was luxury to everybody is different. Luxury to you could be a one night in London because you haven't been away for 5 years. Luxury to the next person could be 5-star around the world. So luxury means different things, and it's about listening and giving a client experience. And to have that recognised, that people realise what we do, was pretty cool. We were delighted. Well,
that's what I love. And I think, you know what you guys are, you listen, and I think that's wonderful. So Claire, for the year ahead, have you any bucket list trips? I've one or two things planned. I've nothing planned. Anything wonderfully
still
exciting?
My top of my list is an Alaska cruise. I still haven't managed to get it done, but I really want to get it done. I'm looking forward to that. Other than
you can fly to Calgary now.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you can fly to
Vancouver,
Toronto or wherever. Yeah,
absolutely.
Vancouver.
Yeah, no, I really want to do that. A bit more, of course, I love Spain, so I'll be back in Spain in February. It would be great. Other than that, I haven't thing booked yet, but I really
need
something to look forward to. So I have to work on that.
Typical travel agents, you're like carpenters, or what is it? We're like cobblers. A cobbler's children has no shoes. Travel agents, we're useless at booking our own holidays.
I know. I need a travel agent, Ciara.
I'll be on to her.
I know. And Ciara, what about yourself?
Similar to Claire, I actually have nothing booked at the moment. I have a couple of conferences lined up that I will need to attend. I mean, obviously the ITA conference will be on later this year in Spain, which will be fantastic, and I have one on in Maine, which I'm looking forward to as well. So, but I've nothing else. I'd love to do another river cruise. If I could do another river cruise, that would be great. And funny, I haven't travelled
east. The Shannon is lovely.
I'd love to go more east because I've done an awful lot with the States. I'd love to maybe look towards Asia, but there's not enough hours in the day, unfortunately, at the moment.
Well, listen, guys, it's been wonderful to chat to you this evening, and it's been great to do like a deep dive into the whole travel industry, and I think it shows people just what is involved in it, and it's been an absolute pleasure. So, Claire, Happy New Year to you, and hope you have a great successful year ahead, guys, the two of you. Claire Dunn, the CEO of the ITAA, and Ciara Foley, Platinum Travel. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks, Ed.